Hello and welcome to the Cheesehead TV post-game show here on CheeseheadTV.com. The Green Bay Packers are playoff bound. The Packers beat the Bears today. Win at Lambeau Field. Win in their in situation. They get the W. They're moving on. Welcome everyone to the post-game show. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. The roadmap for today's show, we're going to recap the scoring, we're going to go over some of the statistics, and then it's time to analyze this game, and there is a plenty to talk about, plenty to analyze. The Packers win 10-3, and they are going to head to Philadelphia next weekend in the first round of the playoffs, the wild card. Packers are a number 6 seed, and they will face Mike Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles, but the Packers getting by the Chicago Bears today. Recapping some of the scoring. Packers fall behind early. Didn't happen until the second quarter. Robbie Gould hits a 30-yard field goal. Bears go up 3-0. In the third quarter, Mason Crosby hits a 23-yard field goal. Ties it up 3-3. And that is it. Until the fourth quarter, Packers get on the board with a touchdown. Donald Lee, one-yard touchdown pass. That is your decisive score. That was the difference in the game. Packers win 10-3 with Mason Crosby's extra point. Taking a look at some of the individual statistics today from a Packers standpoint, Aaron Rodgers completes 19 out of 28 passes, one touchdown, one interception, good for a quarterback rating of 89.7. Not much of a ground game to speak of today. Aaron Rodgers, 7 carries for 21 yards. Aaron Rodgers is also your leading rusher for the day. James Starks, 5 for 20. Brandon Jackson, 7 for 19. John Kuhn got 4 carries. Couldn't gain a single yard today. Zero. In the receiving department, Greg Jennings has 4 catches for 97 yards. He is your leading receiver in terms of yards. In terms of receptions, it's Donald Driver who had 5 for 41. Jordy Nelson, 2 catches for 39 yards. Brandon Jackson, 2 for 16. James Starks, 2 for 15. James Jones, 1 for 8. John Kuhn, 1 for 7. Andrew Corliss, 1 for 5. And Donald Lee, 1 catch for 1 measly yard. But it goes for a touchdown to put the Packers on top. Just an interesting note here in terms of targets as well. Greg Jennings was targeted 10 times today, and he only had 4 catches. So Aaron Rodgers misfired, or the ball was dropped, on 6 occasions to Greg Jennings today. Among all other receivers combined on the Packers, he had missed only 3 passes, 3 targets all day. Six to Greg Jennings, 3 to all other Packers combined. And with that, it's time to talk about the Green Bay Packers. Time to break things down. This was quite a game. Quite a game. It was ugly, as Mex Pack says on our live blog. But it was a classic as well. Packers needing to get by the Bears to get into the playoffs. You know, just this really, somebody tweeted it to me at the end of the game. Boy, am I glad it didn't have to come down to this as a Packer fan. But let's just assume for a second the Bears scored. They scored a touchdown on that last drive. They have nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing. They can go for 2 points and beat the Packers with little to no time remaining. I know this is hindsight, but wow, can you imagine if Lovie Smith had chosen to go for 2 and beaten the Packers? That would have taken the Packers-Bears rivalry to a whole other level. Oh, wow. It's hindsight, and it doesn't matter much now, but wow, that was interesting, and it could have been a heartbreaker, but it is not. The Packers' defense steps up today, holds the Bears to 3 points, and does a fantastic job. The Packers deserve to win this game. Bears starters played the whole entire game, and you know, that's what it comes down to. You know, the offense did, of course, not look good today. I think everybody realizes that. But your defense with, what was it, 6 sacks and 2 interceptions, I believe, just off the top of my head, gets it done. Let me look at some of the defensive statistics today. Packers have 6 total sacks. So in the sack department today, Eric Walden, 2 sacks. Unheralded Eric Walden. A.J. Hawk gets half a sack. Charles Woodson gets 1 sack. Harold Green gets a sack. Clay Matthews gets another one. And Jarius Winn also gets 1 half. And your interceptions are tallied by Nick Collins at the very end. And then Charlie Pepper, of course, had the big one in the end zone that prevented a Chicago touchdown as well. How about Eric Walden? Nobody even knew who the guy was before the game. I know the hardcores, the people who read Cheesehead TV, you know who Eric Walden is. But just the casual fan, especially those who are not even fans of the Green Bay Packers, probably, honest to God, never even heard of the guy. I'm sure your NFL pundits, you know, the talking heads on television, may have not even have heard of Eric Walden before. And coming up big with 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for a loss, led the team in tackles as a whole with 11 tackles today. Fantastic job by Eric Walden in the Green Bay defense. And the Green Bay special teams looking special today. It wasn't all pretty, you know. They gave up a long kickoff return, I remember. Who was it to? Daniel Manning, I believe, returned one 28 yards, about out to the 50-yard line that they had hit a little bit short. Devin Hester got a, you know, he averaged 17.5 yards on 2 returns, which that's really good for a punt returner. But, you know, they didn't do any damage. And the Packers, especially in the punting game, especially there in the second half, just lights out. Tim Mastay, very underrated job, puts 4 inside the 20 today. And guys like Jared Bush getting down the field and downing them inside the 1 there. But no, fantastic job. Fantastic, fantastic. And the Packers moving on. Why waste any time? Let's open the phone lines here, folks. If you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Once again, 646-797-2909. I know people are excited and going to want to express some of this excitement. Game that really comes down to the wire here. And Packers pulling through, even though the offense isn't looking all that great. Some of the comments on the live blog as we wait for the calls to roll in here. Packers RS says, "Woo, we win! Now if the O-line can block someone and the wide receivers can catch the ball, we can win the wild card. If we play soft on offense, we won't beat anyone. Thanks, Capers FD, for the wild card spot." Holy cow, that call almost scared me. A little loud. I'm going to turn this down here. But here we go. You are in the Cheesehead TV post-game show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, this is Ross in Indiana.
Hi there, Ross. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I just wanted to repeat a comment that's been floating on the blog, but Matt Tate was fantastic. It's been so long since there's been a punter. Bravo and fantastic, and can't wait for the postseason.
Yes, he did great. I mean, do you have anything else to add, Ross?
No, you know, I'm just feeling great. I wanted to give a call, long time, first time, and you know, I've been I was upset in the first half. For a long time, I thought that this team could make a run in the playoffs. The first half, I thought, nah, I don't know. But with the defense playing like they are, I'm just optimistic. I can't wait for Philly.
Can you think that this offense is going to turn things around, though? Can Aaron Rodgers, you know, get it going against Philly's defense on the road in a hostile environment? That might be the question.
Yeah, it was just a week ago since the Giants, though. And the Giants, everything was clicking. I mean, it's up to the coaching staff to figure out this hot, cold thing and get some consistency out of the offense. But they, 7 days ago, they had it all together. And no guarantees, of course, but I think it's possible.
Fantastic. Thanks for calling, Ross. And don't be a stranger. Call back in.
All right. Beautiful. Go back.
Yeah, go back. Go. Good point. With just a week ago, you know, the Packer offense looking unstoppable. And go back earlier this season to the Dallas Cowboy game, where that game was over before it began. The Packers put so many points on the board. Why can't the offense be consistent? You know, they don't need 40-plus points with this defense to win the game. I think Packers fans would be happy, elated with 28. If the Packer offense can score 28, that's going to win, what, 90% of the time? More than 90% of the time? I'd like to think so, at least. Some comments on Twitter from Peru Sam. Offensive player of the game, Greg Jennings. Defensive player of the games, Raji and Walden. Special teams player of the week, Tim Mastey. So there's your players of the week. I wonder, Greg Jennings, thinks he's the offensive player of the game? He's got to be close. Him and Rodgers, I would say. You know, Rodgers threw the interception. But, you know, Greg Jennings really came through. Would have been nice to see him get in the end zone on that long pass play where he was down at the one-yard line. But atoning for the drop earlier in the game that he hit his hands and would have been a touchdown, more than likely. Got to imagine it would be. And that's not the first time it happened this year. Rodgers hitting Jennings. What game was that earlier in the season where he drops it? You know, it just like bounced up in the air, went for an interception. Was that against the Patriots? Do I have that right? I think so. But anyhow. Getting back to the big performance on defense today for the Packers. The Packers hold the Vikings to, the Vikings, I'm sorry, the Bears to 5 out of 16 on third downs. So less than 30, you know, one third of the time, 33%. They converted third downs. They're 0 for 1 on fourth downs. So add that to those failure to convert first downs for the Chicago Bears. Only 227 total yards on the day for the Bears. And Jay Cutler finishes with a line of, you know, 21 completions on 39 attempts, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions for a paltry 43.5 quarterback rating for Jay Cutler today. And that's the Jay Cutler everybody knows and loves, prone to making mistakes like he did at the end. We'll take a call. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, it's Thaddeus. How are you?
Very good, Thaddeus. I assume you are in a good mood.
I'm in a very good mood. Yeah, very good mood.
What's on your mind?
It was the first 2.5 quarters are pretty tough, but looks like we got through it. I was surprised to see Capers really start dialing up the blitz, like, you know, at the end of, like, the middle of the third quarter. But it seemed to be working. For some reason, Cutler can't keep his head on straight and, like, just hit the check down passes. He seems to get very flustered by it, and he just starts firing very wildly all over the place. But I guess it worked for us. But, I mean, looking to next week, you know, that'll be interesting to see if we continue to blitz as much, because Vic can really make you pay, you know, if he gets past it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, as time has shown time and time again, Jay Cutler can absolutely get flustered. And I think that's absolutely why Capers kept the pressure on. I mean, Jay Cutler was able to make them pay a little bit today. A couple times they blitzed Woodson out of the slot, and Jay Cutler knew right away, hey, we're going to expose the vacated area. The Packers kept at it, though, you know, and bringing pressure from different spots, like Eric Walden up the middle. Fantastic job. And you're spot on with Mike Vick, too. He can make you pay. I have no clue what the Packers will do. I remember the first game of the year, it was a superhuman effort by Clay Matthews that helped contain him.
Yeah, well, speaking of, I guess, the outside linebacker, it'll be interesting to see if Zombo comes back next week. Because even though Walden had a really good game, he did have that one, I guess, that run where he didn't get contained. He sort of got sucked into the middle, and Forte broke off that really big run. And so that's something that would really hurt the Packers next week if he does that, like, again. And, I mean, I know Zombo did it, too, when he was in there. And so it's really important that it keep contained and let, like, the, you know, the linebackers, the inside linebackers slow down. So I hope to get a look at that on tape and, you know, get that fixed up for next week.
That's fantastic. I'm going to throw that question out to the everybody listening into the live blog. Do you think the Packers will start Eric Walden next week or Frank? Let's assume Eric Walden is healthy. Or, I'm sorry, let's assume Frank Zombo is healthy.
Zombo.
And what do you do? Do you start Eric Walden after the week he had? Or do you go back to the incumbent start?
I think you stick with the hot hand. I mean, like, Zombo, I think he has 2 or 3 sacks, but, I mean, like, it's not like he's Clay Matthews, you know. So I think you stick with the hot hand. And the person I'm really looking forward to getting back is Jenkins. There's really no excuse now. He should suit up. If he wants to get paid, he should suit up.
Yeah, yeah. Colin Jenkins, you would think he would be ready to go for next week after all the time he's had off.
Yeah. It's like 5 weeks or so now.
It's going on a month. Thaddeus, thanks for calling in. Enjoy the win, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
All right, see ya. Thaddeus, thanks for calling in, checking in all the way from New York. Yeah, I mean, boy, that's... If I'm the coach, I don't know what I do as far as... defensive coordinator, you know, do you start Eric Walden? He had such a good game today. I mean, some of it you might consider coverage sacks, at least the Green Dog one, that delayed blitz. I mean, it was so delayed that, you know, had the Bears just gotten the ball out of there quicker, you know, he wouldn't have even had a chance at the sack there of Jay Cutler. So... we'll see. With Thaddeus gone, that opens up the phone line. It is 646-797-2909. Once again, 646-797-2909. Here on Cheesehead TV. Pardon me if it looks like I'm having a little bit of a brain lapse here. I'm trying to look something up here. In my records that I'm trying to share with you, if I can find it here for a second amongst some things I have on my computer that I thought was interesting. anyway, I'll come back to that here. Dead air is not good for me. So, so let's talk special teams here. All the talk coming into the game is Devin Hester. How are the Packers going to stop Devin Hester? Probably the best return man of all time. You know, I think he set the record for the longest punt return average, or maybe it was just, I can't remember, the longest in 60 years or something like that, or I don't know. It's outrageous, whatever it is, his punt return average. And, you know, I think, has he scored the most touchdowns on returns of all time, punt and kicks return, something like that. So, you know, of course, and he's not the only one. You know, they got Johnny Knox back there and Daniel Manning, and those guys are good too. So how are the Packers going to stop these guys? And Tim Mastate just rises to the occasion. You know, he was helped out. Bear with me if you think this sounds strange, but Tim Mastate was helped out by the offense to an extent. You know, the Packers' offense wasn't very good today, but they were good enough to get the ball to midfield, say, at least. Even if they stalled from there on, they usually got the ball to midfield. So, and when you're a punter, you know, when you're trying to pin somebody inside the 20, that's not really hard to do. I mean, as long as you have enough hang time, or you have the proper angle, or you utilize the Aussie rules style punt like Mastate did once today, and it just kind of drops dead. But, I mean, then your coverage units don't have as far to go down the field. So, in a sense, you know, that's credit the Packers offense for helping out the punter today. And that does sound weird, crediting the Packers offense for doing anything positive today. I mean, other than their one scoring drive with that Eden and a TD. But, anyhow. Checking out some comments on the live blog. Rupert comments, Packers were 2 of 11 on third down today. That's how poor the Packers offense was. 2 of 11. And what's really interesting is that there were some short yardage situations. I think I counted 3 times the Packers were 3rd and 2 today and didn't convert. On 3rd and 2, you can't ask for anything more. I suppose you can ask for 3rd and 1, but 3rd and 2, you're expected to convert those. And the Packers didn't. And there were a couple other mid-distance one, like 3rd and 4, that they missed on as well. Well, I mean, they're 2 of 11 overall. They missed most of them. So, and of course, the one 3rd and long that's going to stare, I'm sorry, 3rd and short that's going to stick out in everybody's mind is when the Packers are 3rd and 2 and just need 2 yards to go for a first down. But they heave it far downfield. Aaron Rodgers trying to hit Greg Jennings for a long one instead of just trying to move the chains. You know, I don't know what to say. I have a DVR, and I went back and I looked at that play. And the other receivers, I thought, were covered. You know, that seemed to be perhaps the best choice Aaron Rodgers had at that point in time. So, I don't know what to say. You know, can you blame him if everybody's covered? Or what do you do? I mean, you don't want to have an interception, that's for sure. Do you try to run it then? Scramble for the first down? I mean, that's, you know, a long shot as well. But, you know, as they say sometimes, hindsight's 20/20, you know. I mean, all of a sudden they complete that pass and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a hero. But it goes back several times now this season that they've attempted that. You know, of course, the Patriots game when the Packers had a chance to win at the end. It's, what is it? It's fourth down and a few yards, and Matt Flynn throws the ball in the end zone instead of just trying to get the first. So, that, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, trend going on here when it's third and short and they go long. But, you know, they got it done in crunch time. Packers only needed to score one more than three points today, which is what the defense held the Chicago Bears. So the Packers, you know, drive the length of the field there in the fourth quarter. Greg Jennings down at the one. Donald Lee gets the touchdown. Donald Lee now, two games in a row with the touchdown. It's about the only time you hear his name. The only pass he caught today. But really coming on at the end. I mean, if that's all he does is catch touchdown passes, that's, people will take it. You know, that was Spencer Havener's role a year ago, I suppose. All he was doing was catching touchdown passes. But it took till week 16 and 17 for it to happen for Donald Lee. But, comment here from Jen Sturger. Revis Island meet Walden Pond. Eric Walden. He's, you know, all these Packers, they're all folk heroes now. Of course, the big story this past week was John Kuhn and how he's become a folk hero. But early in the season, it was the same way for Clay Matthews. Those first couple games when he had like 2-3 sack games to start the season. And he's the superstar. He's the folk hero. And now after today, it's going to be Eric Walden. All they do is just come up with the big plays. Pat Graham Burrow asks, where was I last week? Sorry, it was the holidays. I was out of town. Not even in the Cheesehead TV studios. I apologize to everyone. I'll be here every game for the rest of the season. Long as the season lasts, I'll be with you for sure. Hopefully it'll end in a Super Bowl run. We'll see. Every game's going to be on the road from here on out. Every game. Packers going to have, first of all, going to have to go to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles and Mike Vick on the road. If they happen to win that game, then they have to go to Atlanta, who gets the bye. And then, you know, whoever wins the other side of the bracket could be the Bears. We'll see. But yeah, all three games on the road. The Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl as a number 6 seed. I think their first Super Bowl there in this past decade was that 2004. So it has been done. It has been done. And I think there's been a couple 5 seeds that have made it as well. And if you're a 5 seed, every game's got to be played on the road as well. So, you know, there is some history showing that it can be done, but it's not going to be easy. Road games all the time from here on out. You know, I found it here, folks. I was trying to look for it before, and I was just you know, when I was quiet for a little bit and looking something up through my records here on my computer. I hate doing this because, first of all, probably nobody's going to believe me, but I spoke to an insider who asked to remain anonymous about this, but, you know, I was just talking to him about Packers personnel, and compared, this was a while ago, compared Eric Walden to Cameron Wake of the Miami Dolphins, who I believe is a Pro Bowler now. He coming from the Canadian Football League and has been a quite the story for the Miami Dolphins. You know, just to add to the legend here. And I don't like doing this, you know. So, you know, I talk to an anonymous source, but you know, the person asked me, you know, not to mention their name. But I will say though, I mean, it's a person who you know, knows what they're talking about. So we'll see. I mean, I am not going to sit here and say Eric Walden is the next coming of Cameron Wake. I'm just telling you what I heard, you know, so take it with a grain of salt. Certainly, you know, take that as you will. Feel free to throw it out the window if you want, but if you're looking for some hope that the Packers have found a diamond in the rough, Eric Walden, the next Cameron Wake. So take that for what you will. It's a good little nugget if you want to think of it like that. Here we go. Jack in Jersey City says, Packers will play the Eagles on Sunday at 4:30. I'm, without confirming that, I'm taking you on your word, Jack. I'm sure everybody's talking about on Twitter, but I don't have the time to check everything out myself. But sure, Sunday, 4:30. You know, there were reports earlier this week that the Eagles themselves were telling everybody that it's going to be a Saturday night game. I don't know if that was true or not, but I had seen that from several sources, that no matter who they were going to play, it was going to be a Saturday night game. Anyhow, Packers getting the late game on Sunday. Packers going to be, you know, inching into prime time, as the television executives will like. Green Bay always brings a crowd, no matter who they are, where they play, whatever. And everybody's saying the same thing. 4:15. I would assume that would be Eastern. I could be wrong. You know, the playoffs are, you know, different from the regular season, so anyhow, trying to catch up on some of the comments here on the live blog. Brett Favre comments, hello, I'm here. Does anybody want to pay attention to me anymore? Of course, Brett Favre's career looking like it's come to an end. Barring a coming out of retirement, which I can't imagine would happen with Favre after this season. I would put a lot of money on it that it is Brett Favre's last season in the NFL. So Jack says it's Eastern time, so, you know, 3:15, then if you're in the central time zone. Lambeau time, as we like to say. So I got another topic of conversation here. I tweeted it once during the game, and I'm sure this will be a hot-button issue. Brian Bulaga. You know, I'll preface it by saying, you know, I it's not as if I don't think Brian Bulaga doesn't have potential, that he couldn't be a stud in years to come, but you know, if I had to give out grades, and as soon as the Packers season is done, they're going to want to, you know, everybody in the media is going to give grades. And I would give Brian Bulaga, you know, probably a C- at best. Let me take this phone call. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hello, Brian. It's Jersey Al here.
Jersey Al. You were the one who was taking me to the woodshed. I'll let you comment on this right away. You know, I was just saying as you were calling in about Brian Bulaga, and, I don't think he's had a very good year. So anyhow, you thought I was being a little critical, so go ahead, Jersey Al. Tell me what your thoughts on Brian Bulaga this season.
Well, I mean, you were giving him a C- or a D for the entire season. I mean, I'd give him that for today, but I don't know that I'd give him that for the entire season. You know, he's a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing right tackle, which he never played before. So I'm willing to give him a pass on some mistakes, you know. I don't think he's played at a C- D level the entire season.
See, the thing is, though, I understand it's his first year at right tackle and he's a rookie, you know, but just the production, I don't care that it's his first season or that he's a rookie. He's struggled this year. I mean, and again, not to say he might become a Pro Bowler in years to come, but based upon what he's done this year, he's struggled. I mean, today was especially bad. He's had okay games, but, you know, I don't know. I think he struggled.
Well, I don't disagree that he struggled, but wouldn't you expect that? You know,
but it's not about what I expect. It's about production.
About everything, then.
It's about bottom line.
That's okay. It's your right. That's okay. You have a right to expect perfection. I'm usually the one on that end of the spectrum. So I'm just, as an old offensive lineman, I have a soft spot for them. So. Blame it on that.
What else do you got for me, Jersey Al?
Anyway, you were talking a little earlier about, you know, but obviously the question for this game is the offense and, you know, so inconsistent from game to game, et cetera. You know, early on, the Packers receivers, I thought, were the ones responsible for, you know, for putting crimp into the offense. You had Driver, who fumbles the ball after that reception.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Jennings with two big drops on what would have been two big plays. I mean, he makes those two catches. That's at least 3 points in each case, probably seven in one of the cases. Whole different ball game, you know. And that kind of, I thought, gave them a bit of a disjointed feel, the whole offense, the first half. Not that it got that much better the second half, but thank God we have a good defense.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. The first half, absolutely. The wide receivers between the drops and the fumble and you name it. And, you know, it seemed to be something that's been going on with you go back to, I believe it was the Patriots game where Greg Jennings, that ball hits him in the hands, pops up in the air, and it's intercepted. And you're thinking, oh, boy, is this going to be another game like that? And the Packers lose. And,
right.
Yeah, but no, they turned it around at least, or, you know, they got enough to win the game at least in the second half. I don't know if it'll be enough for them to win in the future on the road, but
yeah, they couldn't secure the game. You know, I mean, they still had to leave it to the defense to win the game at the end. They could have easily secured it with just a field goal somewhere. You know, in those last couple of possessions, and they couldn't get it done. So that's still a bit of a concern there. The other thing I had was you were talking about that third down and two, and they throw, and Rodgers throws deep,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is always a big complaint that I've had, especially this year. It seems like they've done it a lot, you know, in some really interesting situations. In the past, I kind of blamed McCarthy for the call, but like you, I kind of looked back at that play. I DVR'd it, and I went back and looked at it. And I do think that Rodgers went through a bunch of his progressions on that play. You saw him looking in different direction. Finally, he was like, okay, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
He said, all right, I'll throw it deep, you know. So I'm not that upset about that particular one.
I'm glad we agree there one of the few times here today, I suppose. But, I think Rodgers, he looked across all his reads, and he's like, this is the best option. You know, so it's tough.
Yeah, I think so. But on the other hand, I think there were plenty of other times where Rodgers just held the ball too long and decided to run, where I thought there were some receivers. There were also some cases where he had no receivers to throw to. You know, everybody was running deep routes, and here he is under pressure. He's got to move, and there's nobody to throw to. So a little bit of both, but. You know, your quarterback shouldn't be running the ball seven times, nor should he be the leading rusher on your team with 21 yards, no less, whatever it was. Is that what you said, 21? Yeah.
Anyway. Jersey Al, you changed your URL recently. Give that a quick plug. I forget what it is because you just did it within the last month.
Yeah, no problem. It's just allgreenbaypackers.com.
AllGreenBayPackers.com. Thanks a lot for calling in, Al.
JerseyOut.com still works.
Oh, okay. So it redirects there?
You don't want to type all of that. Yeah. If you don't want to type all of that, you can stick with the old one. But in any case, great job, Brian. Nice talking to you. And maybe we'll talk next week after a playoff win.
Sounds good. Hopefully. Talk to you then.
Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Jersey Al, AllGreenBayPackers.com. Comment from Thad Collins, Thaddeus on the live blog. What do you think about Lang at right tackle? I don't think you make that the change at this point in the year. Certainly, I think that would be counterproductive now to take Brian Bulaga out of the starting lineup. Because Brian Bulaga has done good things too. But I just think overall, when it comes down to production, when it comes down to, you know, what have you done for me, Brian Bulaga, I think, has struggled this year. But that's not to say he's not going to be good. I think he can. You see it happen so many times with rookies where they struggle their first year. It happens with probably more than 90% of rookies, where they'll do something like struggle in their first year and go on to big things. It's the exception and not the rule when rookies exceed in their first year in the NFL. Not everybody's Clay Matthews, where they're a Pro Bowler in their rookie season. So, no, I do have hope that he will be. Illinois Pack fan comments, Bulaga will be a starting O-lineman for the next 10 years. He will be better. And that kind of sums up how I feel about Brian Bulaga. I think he will get better. I just think he struggled some this year. He's taken his lumps. But, hopefully, hey, he learns from them. And Illinois Pac-Man points out the first holding call against Bulaga was bullcrap. And it kind of was. It looked bad in real time. You know, you go back and you watch it in slow-mo, and you're like, boy, he barely touched him, and really the defensive lineman fell to the ground. But, you know, I can understand why the refs called it. It looks better. It looks bad in real time. Jersey L commented on the state of the running game, which we'll touch on here briefly. And how poorly the Packers did on the ground today, which was disappointing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is your leading not only yards, but carries as well. He had 7 carries in the game, which tied with Brandon Jackson. Brandon Jackson only averaging 2.7 yards on the ground. He had 1 carry of 8 yards. So, you know, take out that carry. And it was, you know, it seemed like every play was going for 0 or 1 yard when he was touching the ball. And James Starks, you know, he didn't break anything, but it seemed like he consistently got 4 yards. I mean, he had 5 carries for 20 yards for a 4 yard average, and it seemed like almost every one was, you know, 4 yards, which, you know, you get 4 yards a carry, that's acceptable. I mean, you do that for 3 straight plays, you got a first down coming every time. So, you know, that's, you know, back, and here we go back to the James Starks conversation. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You know, Mike McCarthy said, you know, when he had James Starks inactive, that it came down to special teams, you know, when between him and Dimitri Nance. And, you know, he wasn't feeding you any bullshit there. I mean, because they didn't go to Dimitri Nance today at all. Even after Nance had a decent game last week against the Giants. You know, so Starks goes and, you know, he's lining up from the first series today, despite, you know, being in the doghouse. You know, I really, you know, they, of course, the articles came out this week that even Starks was admitting that his practice habits haven't been all that good. But, I mean, you kind of think he's in the doghouse, but he must really not be that good on special teams, because they showed they had some, you know, faith in him, putting him out there on offense, you know, a lot of plays today. You know, he only had 5 carries, but, you know, he was out there in a lot of other plays, had a reception, was targeted on another that fell incomplete there by Aaron Rodgers. So, where do the Packers go with James Starks moving forward here in the playoffs? Can you count on a rookie in the playoffs to be your primary ball carrier? You know, Brandon Jackson, you know, he's done okay past couple games when Starks has been inactive. You know, Brandon Jackson doesn't do anything, you know, noteworthy today, but he has been the past couple weeks, you know, against the Giants and against the Patriots, when people have kind of applauded the Packers' ground game for being okay, helping out the team a little bit. Catching up here again on some of the comments on the live blog. Jamie Jors is quoting, I believe, Aaron Rodgers. "I don't think me being the leading rusher is going to equate to a win." He's absolutely right there. Illinois Pack fan comments, "I would rather see Nance and Johnson in the backfield pounding the ball." Interesting. Wants to see Nance out there. David comments, "I don't complain too much about holding. It's a pass play. If it's a pass play, gotta protect Aaron at all costs." Mex Pack comments, "Johnson's run blocking seems to be better of late." Yeah, you know, he has done better, I think. He's gotten increased playing time, and I think that helps, of course. You know, Corey Hall is really falling off the face of the planet. I realize he's injured. But even when these past couple weeks when he was playing and wasn't injured, his playing time has been decreased in favor of Quinn Johnson. Be a little interesting what the Packers do this offseason with both Corey Hall and John Kuhn becoming free agents. You got to think, after the stud of a season that John Kuhn is having, that the Packers would do most things in their power to keep him. You know, what it kind of didn't really occur to me, but I was almost thinking that John Kuhn could have been a Pro Bowler this year, just because, you know, fullbacks, you know, typically don't touch the ball, and he's one of the fullbacks that does touch the ball and scores a lot. But anyhow, M. Newhouse comments, short yardage play calling must get better. M. Newhouse, Marshall Newhouse is joining us. Marshall Newhouse, of course, going on IR this week for the Green Bay Packers. Inactive in every game prior this season. Marshall Newhouse wasn't active for a single game this season. He's a rookie. You know, it's I'm not going to give up on him yet. Next year, if he happens to do that, then it'll be a cause for concern. Interesting to find a Marshall Newhouse fan here on Cheesehead TV. People think I'm smoking something for thinking Kuhn going to the Pro Bowl. I think he could have. What do I know? Was he even on the ballot? I don't know. I didn't even vote for the Pro Bowl this year. Thad Collins asked, doesn't Jackson's contract expire off after the season? Do you think he comes back? Yeah, Brandon Jackson's contract does expire after the season, and that will be interesting to see whether or not he does come back. You know, where will the Packers go? You know, you do have Ryan Grant, obviously, coming back next season. And you got James Starks coming back. So do they bring back Brandon Jackson, who's, you know, is obviously the Packers' leading rusher this year? I think you bring him back. You know, he does such a good job on third downs. And I think you sign him for that role. You don't pay him starting money. If he can get that from some other team out there, they want to make Brandon Jackson their featured running back. More power to them. And good for Brandon Jackson if he can leverage that. But, you know, I think he has a role on this team. If Ryan Grant were healthy, or, my goodness, James Starks breaks out, something like that. Brandon Jackson still has a role on this team. As long as he plays third downs, he pass protects like he has his entire career, and is a receiving threat, a good receiver at that, I think you bring him back. How about the Eagles and their loss to the Vikings this past game on Tuesday Night Football? That's got to make you feel a little bit good if you're a Packer fan. You know, if the Vikings can go into Philadelphia and win, can't the Packers? Well, the Packers already went to Philadelphia and won this season, so you know they feel like they're going to be able to win. How exciting is next week going to be? How exciting? You know, I am glad that the game's going to be on Sunday for one. I hate when it's going to be on a Saturday, because you got one less day to rest and one less day to prepare. Yeah, I hate that. So I'm glad the Packers got a Sunday game, first of all. But how exciting is this going to be? I mean, the Packer defense has been great all season long. But, if I had to pick one player in the NFL that could beat the Packer defense, I'd probably pick Mike Vick, just because how the multiple ways he can hurt you, which is kind of scary. That and the inconsistent Green Bay offense, who's capable of dropping 40 on you at any time, but capable of struggling and putting 10 points on the board as well, like they did today. So some interesting storylines going into next week. You know, everybody's just happy. You know, Packer fans are just happy that the season is extended another week. If anybody wants to call in here, once again, area code 646-797-2909. If you want to call, talk about the Packers, talk about the playoff matchup next week against the Eagles. How are the Packers going to do? How far are they going to go? You know, like I was saying before, there is history, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, making it as a sixth seed all the way to winning the Super Bowl. But, you know, that's the exception and not the rule, as they say. As we've talked about, you know, what the odds that the Packers, you know, could make the Super Bowl. I mean, if you're a Las Vegas odds maker, what are the odds the Packers, you know, go to the Super Bowl? 10%? You know, and this isn't me being a fan here or anti-Packers. This is me trying to thinking of the mind of a Las Vegas odds maker. I mean, realistically, what are the chances? I mean, Pittsburgh's the only team that's done it as a sixth seed. I mean, just past history alone, it's less than 10%. You know, I suppose the question is just making it or winning the Super Bowl. Two different things there. Now, I realize everybody wants to win the Super Bowl. And that would be nice. Some comments here. David says, I think Rodgers will play better versus Philly. He's generally good versus the Blitz. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he was frustrating today. You know, throwing that interception especially, although that was a good play by the Bears cornerback, and questionable whether that was even an interception. You know, as we're running out of time here, I did want to get to this one time, though. Somebody said, I listen to Wayne and Larry when I watch the game. I don't listen to the television broadcasters. But somebody's, you know, I realize that Mike Pereira, a former head of officiating for the NFL, is, you know, contracted by Fox or whatever. And he said that play should have been overturned. That, you know, it should have been an incompletion because it hit the ground. And if I remember right, Mike Pereira is like, because he knows these, he's able to predict the outcome of these instant replays and like does it like, you know, over 95% of the time. I thought I read that Mike Pereira is able to, you know, he just takes a look at it and he knows what the call should be, you know, 95% of the time. So, that is interesting. If Mike Pereira says it should be overturned and it wasn't, you know, that it'll be interesting to see it. Don't they have the segment on NFL Network every week where they talk to, they go over the questionable calls of the week? We'll be waiting for that. But, you know, who cares now? The Packers have won, so maybe it's not going to be all that big of a deal. I think when teams lose, those officiating calls, you know, get a little bit more attention. So maybe that the Packers are moving on, it won't be such a such a big deal. Jamie Jorah says the Eagles opened as a 3-point favorite. There you go. There's your money line for the playoff game. Packers opening in the wild card as 3-point underdogs. Packers went into Philly and beat them already this year. How can you be underdogs when you've gone on the road and beat them? Anybody out there think Mike McCarthy should still be fired? God, I got annoyed this entire season with calls for McCarthy to be fired. I just saw on the live blog again somebody commenting how good of a job they've done with all the injuries. Jack in Jersey City, I think just making the playoffs with 15 players on the IR is a successful season. Yeah, do you think? Oh my goodness. You know, whenever the Packers lose, I seem to be a magnet for negativity on Twitter. Oh, my goodness. And then today during the game, like, everybody thinks that every tweet is like a self-contained story that sums up the entire Packers. At halftime, I mentioned how well the defense is playing. I got 4 tweets telling me, yeah, but the defense does, or the offense hasn't been. Like, no kidding. I realize the offense isn't playing well, and I even tweeted that they weren't playing well. I tweeted that the offense was inept. I admitted it. But no, later on I say how great of a job the defense is doing, and everybody's got to point out to me the offense ain't playing well. Yeah, can I acknowledge the defense is playing well, though? Rob in Wisconsin, McCarthy firing, I'm still in consideration for it. You're crazy, Rob. Check with your therapist. Your psychologist. Anyway, I see the plug here. Corey Behnke says, tune in for Packer Transplants this Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Lambeau time. The return of Packer Transplants this week. So everybody make sure to come back then. We're going to wrap it up here on the Cheesehead TV post-game show. Thanks for joining us, everyone. It's been fun. Packers are in the playoffs. They're alive. They're alive for another week. And hopefully longer. Take care, everyone. For everybody at Cheesehead TV, from our producer, Corey Behnke, running the live blog, Jamie Jors, everybody else at Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler, Holly Phelps, Alex Talich, we love you for watching us, reading our website, checking in. Take care, everyone. We'll see you later.